702.
News and current affairs.
11 minutes after 9, Thabiso Koba is my guest. Thabiso, thank you so much, my brother, for agreeing to talk to us this late at night. I really, really appreciate your time.
No problem, Aubrey. Thanks for having me.
So we still don't have a mayor in the city of Tshwane, and I believe that today, earlier on, there was a meeting convened that was then dissolved by the speaker, and that there's all sorts of ructions taking place at the moment. What's going on there?
Yes, that's absolutely right. There is no mayor in the capital city of Tshwane. But just moving on to today's meeting. So yes, there was a meeting today for a vote of no confidence in the council speaker, Nwedin Zwanana, who is an ATM Africa Transformation councillor, obviously backed by the ANC. But however, today's meeting, Aubrey, wasn't a normal meeting, as you do know that the speaker usually has the mandate to call meetings. However, this meeting was called due to a petition which was signed by councillors from the DA multi-party coalition. So it was called by the city manager, Johan Mittler. So there is a provision within the Municipal Structures Act which says if a majority of councillors sign a petition calling for an urgent meeting, the speaker has to call it, and if the speaker doesn't call it, then the municipal manager has the responsibility of calling it. However, what happened today is that the vote of no confidence against the speaker could not happen because before the meeting started, the speaker, Nwedin Zwanana, came up to the podium and said, one, that petition, he got that petition on Friday at around 4:30. Which was after hours. So he's saying that he knocked off at 4 p.m. So this petition to call it motion of no confidence came after he knocked off on Friday. And then secondly, he said 10 signatures in this petition do not match the ones of the municipality has on record. So he said, based on that fact, that, you know, that this petition does not meet the minimum requirement of a majority for this motion against him to actually go ahead today. So this meeting is illegal, and he adjourned it. And as you can imagine, Aubrey, there was obviously a lot of frustration from the DA coalition side.
So the meeting had been called by the DA-led coalition in order to launch a motion of no confidence against the speaker.
Yes.
Does it make sense, or is it not obvious then that the speaker would probably not be too favorable for that kind of meeting to take place if that was the agenda of the meeting? I mean,
yes.
It just seems to me as though, you know, I mean, what do you expect? If you are calling a meeting where you want to fire me, I'm not going to facilitate that. Or am I being a bit naive here?
Yes, ideally in a situation like this, because this is not the first time we've had a motion of no confidence against the speaker. So ideally in a situation like this, the speaker would obviously recuse himself and the city manager would be the acting speaker or the presiding officer who oversees this motion. However, the speaker, he did say that, you know, I am not against this. This is what his own words, obviously. He said, I'm not against this vote happening. What I am against is obviously these 10 signatures, which I think are forged or fake. So because this petition has fake signatures, it means that this meeting is inherently illegal because this petition did not meet the requirement. If you minus those 10 fake signatures, it does not meet the requirement for this meeting to go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So was this corroborated? I mean, the idea that these 10 signatures were in fact forged, was this corroborated to establish whether that's factual or not?
Well, there's two sides to this, Aubrey. The obviously from the side of the DA coalition, I spoke to obviously Mr. Kwenamalodi, who was the spokesperson for the DA coalition, and he's saying that it's absolute rubbish. You know, he's apologies for using the word, but he's saying that all the signatures, 108 of them, he's saying that all the signatures were personally signed. They are all legitimate. You know, they have absolutely no reason to fake signatures. So he's saying they were very surprised. And he also said that, they did find out about this during the weekend. And what they did is they made sort of those 10 people who the speaker is suspecting of their signatures being forged. They made police affidavits and they submitted them to the speaker saying that our signatures haven't been forged. I will say that, Aubrey, your signatures obviously have been leaked. I've been able to look at them. I'm obviously not a signature expert.
Yeah.
It's just, it's based on how you look at it. You know, not every signature can be identical as the next one. But, the DA is saying that, all the signatures are legitimate. Every councillor signed personally, and they can personally vouch for every person on that petition.
Is this a perceived delaying tactic by the speaker, and for how long can he delay that process? And then I'll ask the next question that's really, really scratching at the back of my mind.
Well, the thing is, Aubrey, the speaker has adjourned 3 meetings since he was elected on the 14th of March, and he's adjourned 3 meetings so far. So the first meeting, it collapsed because the speaker wanted to allow sort of 2 Action SA councillors who were fired from their party, but they were present in council. So the speaker wanted to allow them to vote in the mayoral election, and the DA walked out and the meeting collapsed. And the second meeting, the speaker collapsed it or adjourned it when there was a Coop councillor who there were 2 contradictory messages from his party. So one side from the Lusuo Musuo Lekota faction saying, "We are removing this councillor," and the other side from the Willy Madisha council faction saying, "This councillor is remaining in council." So the speaker adjourned that mayoral election, and then obviously today. So there is a worry that, especially from the DA faction, that the speaker is just, he's just going to adjourn meetings endlessly without actually taking to a vote. Because the DA coalition, these are the facts, Aubrey, they do have 108 seats, which represents a majority in council. However, I will say that when Dr. Murungwa Magwarela was elected as mayor, 8 councillors from the DA coalition betrayed its coalition, voted for Murungwa Magwarela. So there's also that even though on paper they do have a majority, when it comes to the secret ballot, there is a history of councillors from the DA coalition actually betraying them and voting with the ANC.
What is the stated reason for the desire to launch a motion of no confidence against the speaker?
Well, I think it was for, I think one politically, the DA coalition believes that, we have a majority of councillors and we should be in the executive power of Tshwane based on that. And you remember, Aubrey, that the speaker was elected mainly because 69 DA councillors found a very funny way of voting by voting, instead of placing an X, they voted by a numerical form, and the IEC sort of disqualified all the ballots. And that is how Mwekin Zonana was elected speaker. So there is that fact that the DA feels that they've been cheated out of this position. But it's also the reason that I've explained is that they feel that the speaker has been, using his position to sort of, delay proceedings, delay the election of the mayor, delay even his own removal, because he knows that the numbers are not on his side. So they don't feel that he is a legitimate speaker.
The operative word there being delay, Thabiso, and the reason why I'm emphasizing that word delay is because, how long can this process be delayed, right? And What do those that want to delay the process hope to achieve through and by the delay? Is something else going on that we are not seeing that is happening facilitated by these delays?
I mean, it's a very intriguing Aubrey, because, you know, as I did say, that the DA coalition does have a majority of councillors in within their midst. You know, even when they were betrayed by their councillors, actually, they fired three of their councillors and replaced them. So you sort of have to imagine that at some point that, you know, the ANC doesn't have enough. They simply do not have enough councillors. They simply do not have enough numbers to hold on to this executive power for any long period of time, because at some point those motion of no confidence will come and those numbers from the DA coalition will prevail. But in terms of just maybe something we are not seeing, I do feel that, you know, obviously this is something that is coming from the DA side, is that one, the ANC is trying to sort of entrench its power, and then because they have executive power, they will then frustrate the DA coalition in terms of not having these motions of no confidence for as long as they possibly can. Or the ANC is also trying to put this municipality under administration, which would then obviously transfer the executive power to the provincial government. And as you know, the provincial government here in Gauteng is controlled by the ANC.
What is the effect of all this on service delivery?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge, and I hope, obviously, as you know, someone has been reporting this, I hope this obviously does reflect in my reporting and just in the media as a whole, because what has happened here is that since the 13th of February, when Randall Williams resigned, there hasn't been a mayoral committee. And as you know, a mayoral committee, there's 10 of these people. Each of these people are responsible for a very, very big role, you know, from housing, finance, waste management, and all these other positions. So because there aren't these people, a lot of these things are suffering without a leadership. But also importantly, this adjustment budget. An adjustment budget hasn't been passed. Now, for if you can give me some leeway here, or for someone who's not listening and maybe doesn't understand or doesn't know what an adjustment budget is. So at the beginning of every financial year, the municipality will present a yearly budget. So this yearly budget is usually based on estimates of how much the municipality, how much revenue the municipality collected in the previous year, how much grants they're expecting from the government. But what usually happens, especially since COVID, is that the municipality will not collect as much revenue as they can. So then during the mid-year, they'll have to do an adjustment budget where money from certain projects will have to be rerouted because maybe the money for waste management has run out. So we have to take from this project and put it there and stuff like that. And without adjusting, so the municipality has released a statement and saying that, you know, waste management is suffering because we can't find these projects. Even something as simple as we did a story about service providers at grave sites in Tshwane not being paid and people not being able to bury their loved ones because the grave sites service providers haven't been paid by the municipality. So it is a serious funding crisis. And even something as cutting grass, it needs a budget, it needs money, it needs funding. And for as long as that adjustment budget is not passed, if the municipality is doing these things, that means they are spending irregular. That money is being spent irregular. And when the Auditor General does come around, we are going to have another situation where the Tshwane municipality has spent, you know, a lot of money in irregular expenditure, and there's obviously going to be more political consequences for the executive leadership at the time.
What do the politicians themselves, these politicians that are involved in all of these sort of shenanigans that are taking place there. What do they say about the delay in service delivery, the issues of budgets not being approved so that service delivery can take place? What do they, does that conversation ever emerge in all of this?
You know, there's been a question, you know, this is a question I've been asked, is that, you know, is there any sort of general consensus between, obviously there are two factions here, there's a DA faction and the ANC faction. It's just that it's down the line, you know, there's no other factions within the Tswane Council. So, you know, there is, this question is, you know, can someone walk across the aisle and actually say, hey, you know, let's make a deal, let's put the interest of the municipality, of the residents of Tswane, first. And it does seem that, Aubrey, that it's not going to happen. You know, we've seen in this council people actually physically fighting, you know, pushing and punching each other. You know, so these people from these different factions, there is a sense that they don't just, you know, politically, but personally they despise, you know, the person from the other aisle. And it is obviously a blame game where the ANC is saying that the DA had its moment in government in this municipality, and they obviously messed up. That was why obviously Randall Williams was forced to resign. And the DA is obviously saying that, yes, you know, we did mess up. However, we are still the majority party here in this coalition, and we do deserve a second chance to actually right our wrongs. So in terms of, you know, in terms of the politicians, it is obviously a blame game,
yeah,
between one side blaming the other. And in terms of them coming together, it is clearly unlikely to see someone actually coming across the aisle and making a deal. I don't think that's going to happen.
I had a conversation about a week and a half ago with the IEC, with Mr. Simon Mabula of the IEC, to say we are seeing an unprecedented reality unfold in South African politics, where the whims of politicians and political parties hold the greater citizenry to ransom. Is there anything they can do to insulate us, the citizens, from the whims of politicians? Have you had a conversation of that nature with something like the IEC? Or even the provincial government, which would then have oversight should Tswane go into administration. What plans do they have for rescuing the citizens from the shenanigans of politicians?
Well, you know, I think firstly, you know, the sort of the department that is directly responsible for the municipality or for running of local municipalities is obviously the Gauteng Corporate Department, the corporate government's department. And, you know, it's very hard, Aubrey, because at the end of the day with politicians, you know, with government, it is a highly politicized arena. So even though, you know, it is a department, it is headed by politicians who are affiliated to political parties. However, you know, even with the president, you know, there was a briefing last week with Vincent Magwenya, the presidential spokesperson, where he said even President Cyril Ramaphosa is worried about the situation in Tswane. You know, so it and even reached that. But also the finance minister, the finance MEC, Jane Gauteng, has said that, you know, they've granted Tswane two extensions to pass their adjustment budget. The next extension is on the 14th of April. And I don't know, just based on what's happening, it doesn't look like they're going to make that extension. And the finance MEC did say that, you know, if they do not make the extension, then, you know, there has to be some serious talks between, obviously, provincial government, where the finance MEC will have to maybe you know, speak to COCTA and say, you know, what are we going to do about this? But from the side of COCTA, they obviously have been just, they're obviously keeping a very close eye on this, but they obviously just too wary, a bit wary, obviously, about making a move. Because we do know in 2020, the COCTA MEC at the time did place the Tswane municipality under administration. However, the DA coalition did challenge that in the Constitutional Court, and it was overturned. Obviously, this was very obviously embarrassing for the COPTA NEC at the time. So there is also that worry that, you know, if they do act fast, there might be a repeat of that 2020 situation where placing a municipality under administration is then later overturned by the Constitutional Court. Obviously.
I'm going to put you on a spot, and if you are uncomfortable, I'm happy to let it go. But here's my question. Are the politicians letting us down here?
I mean, I obviously can't answer that as a journalist, but as a resident of the city, a resident of this province, and even a resident of this country, because this is the capital city that we are speaking about, it does seem that we're being let down massively. On the other hand, you know, I do have to sort of say that even though coalitions have, you know, these are nothing new, well, I think what we're seeing, after 2021, after the local government elections, is that we are seeing that a lot of these big powers, the ANC and the DA, they've lost a lot of power. And whereas maybe the DA just needed one or two parties to form a coalition, or the ANC just needed one party to form a coalition, now they need multi-parties, they need three or four parties. And we are seeing that for the first time, and we're seeing that, you know, it's not as easy as maybe that we thought it might be. You know, especially because this is a very highly politicized, it's a very highly charged arena where everyone is just out for power. So it is a horrible indictment, as I think when you were introducing the show, of foreshadowing how our national politics might play out. You can imagine if we have a situation where we have a coalition government nationally, and it happens like Tshwane, where there's a motion of no confidence against the president every week. You know, so I mean, I do understand that, you know, for the first time ever, we are dealing with a situation that is unprecedented in South Africa. But I feel like, you know, the people, especially the politicians, they do have to come to the party and actually just, you know, put the people first and maybe not their own narrow agendas and quest for power.
Tabiso, you're a nice guy. You're a really nice guy.